Not yet. You know why? Anger heated Sammy's stomach, slow and insidious. He stalked toward her, causing her to inch back until she hit the wall and had nowhere left to go. He rested his forearm on the wall above her and a hand to the side of her head, caging her in. Because I saw you kissing him. He chuckled at her horrified expression, but the sound was devoid of humor. Yeah. You didn't know that, did you? I saw you making out with my fucking cousin, the one you knew I despised, less than an hour after we broke up. You know the worst part? I came back to apologize. I thought I'd been too harsh and that maybe we could work things out. Turns out the joke was on me. It didn't take you long at all to get over me, did it? The scabs on his old wounds had been ripped wide open, and he was bleeding all over the place, his emotions a groundswell that threatened to drown him. Olivia's eyes shone with unshed tears. I didn't get over you, Sammy. I never did. Sammy's chest cracked in two. Stop lying. He hated this. Hated fighting and arguing and feeling vindictive. Just when he and Olivia were almost on good terms again, something had to come along and fuck it all up. In this case, that something was 5'8" of pompous ass with whom Sammy had the misfortune of sharing a family tree. They couldn't catch a break. I'm not lying, frustration echoed in Olivia's words. I was young and stupid and let my mom make me doubt myself. I did a lot of things I'm not proud of, but our breakup destroyed me. All these years, I held on to my anger over the things you said because it was easier than owning up to the fact that I still want you. I always have. Her lower lip trembled. I'm not lying, she repeated. Sammy closed his eyes, the pain and hurt from the past mingling with a seed of hope. He didn't know what to think. Part of him wanted to let bygones be bygones, but this was one of those cases where the mind and the heart did not line up. He hadn't realized how messed up he was from Olivia's rejection all those years ago until now. He'd proved his naysayers wrong and grown crumble and bake into something bigger than he could have imagined, but the knowledge that the person he'd loved more than anything hadn't believed in him, had been ashamed of his choices even. That cut deep. When Sammy opened his eyes again, they glittered with challenge. Prove it.
Chapter 17. Olivia gulped as she stared up at Sammy's hard, handsome face. Tension poured off him like heat from a stove, and his eyes locked onto hers, making it hard to breathe. The world had narrowed until it was just the two of them and the wild, erratic beats of her aching heart. Prove it. How? If she could split her chest open and reveal all the broken pieces of herself, she would. But since she couldn't, she settled for the only option left. Olivia grabbed Sammy's face and kissed him. It wasn't the same passionate, lust-fueled embrace as their last two kisses. Yes, the desire was there, but so was everything else she'd ever felt for him. Love, longing, regret, joy, anger, sadness, shame, and a million other shades of emotion. It was funny. She tried so hard to be perfect, but her relationship with Sammy, the messiest, most imperfect thing in her life, was the one that made her feel most alive. Olivia wrapped her arms around his neck and swept her tongue along his bottom lip, seeking entry. He remained stiff and unyielding until she tugged his hair and gently bit his lip in reprimand for making her wait. A shudder rolled through his body, and he finally yielded, his mouth branding hers with a possessive urgency that left her reeling. Just like that, the dynamics shifted. Olivia was no longer the one in control. Sammy was. Claiming her. Marking her. making her burn with every glide of his tongue and sweep of his palms up her body. A blast of cold air hit her when he yanked her towel off and tossed it on the ground. It lasted for all of 2 seconds before he covered her body with his heat searing her from the inside out. His towel was gone too, and she could feel every hard, throbbing inch of him between her thighs. Olivia whimpered with need. "Is this what you want?" Sammy's voice was low and guttural as he pinched her nipple through her bikini top. Her core clenched at the brief but scorching sensation, and she almost sobbed when he did the same thing to her other breast. He'd barely touched her, and she was already soaking. "Yes." She hardly recognized the breathless moan that left her mouth, but she was beyond caring about how wanton she sounded.
"Say it,"
he ordered. And fuck if it didn't turn her on more. Olivia loved control outside the bedroom, but she had a real weakness for dominant males inside the bedroom. It was the one place where she could let someone else take the driver's seat.
"Tell me what you want."
"I want you," she whimpered when he pulled back, mourning the loss of his touch.
"You can do better than that,"
Sammy tisked, looking disappointed.
"Be more specific."
"I want you to," she flushed, her chest hot with embarrassment. "I want you to fuck me."
"Where?"
"Anywhere." The answer slipped out of its own accord. A wicked gleam entered Sammy's eyes.
"You shouldn't have said that."
Olivia didn't have time to react before Sammy picked her up and put her on all fours on the bed. A second later, her bikini was gone, and she was bared to him. Body, heart, and soul. He dragged a finger through her slippery folds, hissing when he felt how wet she was.
"Fuck, you're dripping."
Olivia whimpered again and wiggled her hips, urging him to hurry up already. She needed his mouth, his fingers, his cock, anything. She was dying here. So turned on, the only thing she could focus on was the orgasm teasing her from a distance. Sammy chuckled.
"Oh no, it's not going to be that easy. I'm still mad at you for kissing Edison, and we'll have to address that before we give you what you want, won't we?"
Her pulse thrummed in her ears. She knew what was coming, and equal parts excitement and fear coiled in her stomach.
"Do you trust me?"
He dipped a finger inside her, causing her to moan. "Yes." Olivia tried to thrust back and finger fuck herself to relieve some of the ache in her core. But Sammy removed his hand before she could get a rhythm going. A disappointed whine escaped her throat.
"Don't move."
Silky heat pooled between her thighs at his commanding tone. And Olivia obediently stayed still while Sammy grabbed something from the closet behind her. A minute later, he covered her eyes with a soft cotton bandana and secured it with a tight knot. The room plunged into darkness, heightening her other senses. The smell of wood from the walls and floors mixed with her arousal, and Sammy's faint sandalwood scent. The rustle of air as he moved into position. The smoothness of the sheets beneath her hands and knees.
"Grab onto the headboard and put your head down."
Olivia's forehead hit the bed at the same time her fingers curled around the iron bars of the headboard. In this position, with her ass raised and her legs spread, she was even more vulnerable than she'd been on all fours. But she trusted Sammy. No matter her sexual tastes or how much she'd wanted this over the years, he was the only person she'd allow to see her this way, submissive and at his mercy. She heard his breathing quicken as he glided a palm over the curve of her ass.
"You're going to count for me, baby. Can you do that?"
"Yeah." Olivia didn't get the whole word out before his palm landed on her skin with a sharp crack. She jerked, pain and pleasure radiating from the strike. But she had the mind to count like he'd ordered. 1. Another slap, this time on her other ass cheek.
Two.
Her body jerked again at the sharp sting.
Three,
she bit out. By the time they reached 10, she was a mess of pain and arousal. Her ass throbbed in rhythm with her core, and her clit was so swollen and tender she was sure she would come if Sammy so much as touched it.
Did you learn your lesson?
He was breathing hard, and Olivia wished she wasn't blindfolded so she could see him. Seeing him turned on turned her on.
Yes.
Another moan fell out when his tongue touched her skin, and he licked and massaged the burn away. Shivers rolled down her spine, sensitizing every nerve ending and turning her nipples into diamond hard points. By the time Sammy finished, she was on the knife's edge of arousal again. Olivia heard the telltale rip of foil before the bed dipped, and the tip of his cock teased her entrance.
Hold on tight,
was the only warning she got before he slammed home. Olivia cried out in pleasure as she felt his full steel length moving in and out in a fast, hard rhythm that sent her body sliding across the bed and the headboard crashing against the wall. His fingers dug into her hips, and his groans mingled with hers. The air was heavy around them, drenched with arousal and stifling the sounds of skin slapping against skin. One of his thrusts hit the spot that made her unravel, and she came apart, her screams rising in volume while fireworks of sensation exploded inside her. Her orgasm spread through her like liquid fire, melting her down into a pool of honeyed pleasure. Olivia was so caught up in the intensity of her orgasm, she didn't notice Sammy had pulled out until she felt him slathering something cool and slick on her ass.
Remember when you said you wanted me to fuck you anywhere?
He bent forward, his words a whispered breeze against her ear.
This is your one chance to take it back.
She bit her lip, her heart hammering. For the briefest moment, her mind flew to the book club discussion. She'd said she was team anal, but in truth, she hadn't done it in years. Not since she and Sammy broke up. She might as well be an anal virgin all over again. But she had liked it when she did it. She just needed to warm up first. I don't want to take it back. Just go slow, okay? It's been a while. There was a pause. Her blindfold disappeared, and Olivia had to blink several times before her eyes adjusted to the light again. Sammy cupped her chin and turned her head so she was looking back at him. His eyes were molten with lust, but there was a sharp, incisive glint in them as he examined her face.
Define a while.
8 years. Surprise blossomed on his face, quickly replaced by pure male satisfaction.
Am I the only man you let fuck you in the ass, Liv?
Pink stained her cheeks. She was tempted to bluff and tell him that was only because no one else had been interested. But he'd know it was bullshit. No man would turn the act down. Besides, she was so tired of lying and pretending. It hadn't exactly done her much good in the past. Yes. Her word of the night. But fuck, it felt good to give in. To stop resisting. She wanted him, and she wanted him to know it. Sammy's gaze and touch gentled. No doubt he knew her admission wasn't about the act itself. It was about the trust that came with it. He resumed his ministrations. And once he'd applied the adequate amount of lube, he slowly inserted a finger into her ass. Olivia tensed at the invasion. She was mentally prepared, but her body remained skittish.
Relax, he murmured. That's it. Good girl.
More slow thrusts. Olivia closed her eyes, trying to get used to the sensation.
breathe. Just breathe.
Eventually, the alien, uncomfortable feeling faded, and she squirmed with need again. Especially when Sammy started lapping up her juices with his tongue while he worked her from behind.
Oh, God.
Olivia's back bowed as he scraped his teeth over her clit and finger-fucked her pussy with his free hand.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
The knot of pleasure at the base of her spine tightened.
I'm going to come. I'm going.
He inserted a second finger into her ass, and she exploded for the second time that night. Olivia went crazy, her hips bucking and thrashing as a wave of orgasmic bliss swept over her and left her gasping for breath. Sammy kept his mouth on her until she came down. Only after she collapsed on the bed in a boneless heap did he clean them both off with tissues, crawl up, and brush his lips over the back of her neck. How do you feel?
Fucking amazing, Olivia said,
eliciting a soft laugh. She turned to look at him.
But you didn't.
Next time. You're too tight. We'll work up to it. It was stupid, but the promise of next time got her all hot and bothered again. Her eyes dipped to Sammy's still rock-hard cock.
Okay. She murmured throatily. But in the meantime, how about I take care of that for you?
Sammy didn't get a chance to respond before she shifted positions and engulfed him in her mouth, earning herself the world's sexiest groan. She pulled back and took him in again. And again. And again. Each time taking more of him until he hit the back of her throat. She worked him over with her lips and tongue, licking and swirling and sucking until she felt him stiffen.
Coming,
he gritted out, his hands tightening in her hair. Olivia doubled down and increased her pace until he flooded her mouth, his hoarse cry echoing in the room. And she didn't pull away until she'd swallowed every drop. She glanced up, her lids heavy. Sammy's face was flushed, his eyes bright with arousal. She'd never seen anything hotter in her life. Did that convince you? She swiped a tongue over her bottom lip, and he groaned again. After he regained a semblance of control, he hauled her to her feet, his gaze roaming her face.
I'm convinced that you want me in bed, he said. But that's never been our problem, has it?
Definitely not. Their sexual chemistry was liable to set the room on fire if they weren't careful.
No, the problem was,
Olivia faltered. She'd never been big into the whole self-martyr thing because there were better uses of her time, but she was also willing to admit when she'd been wrong. She was the one who'd set their relationship on its downward spiral. Starting with her refusal to support him when he announced he wanted to open a bakery, and ending with her ill-advised kiss with Edison. Granted, the kiss with Edison had happened after she and Sammy broke up. But now that she knew Sammy saw them, she understood why he'd been angry at her for so long.
Me, she swallowed hard. The problem was me.
Sammy's face softened.
No, it wasn't. You were never a problem, so don't say that shit again.
Sam,
hold that thought.
He walked over to the dresser and pulled out a t-shirt, which he handed to her.
I don't want you to freeze while we're having this conversation.
Olivia realized then that, duh, they were both still naked. She slipped his shirt over her head. It was so large it fell to her thighs. And she detected faint notes of Sammy's scent clinging to the material. It wasn't until Sammy also got dressed and they were sitting on the bed that she continued speaking.
It was me, she said. I didn't support you, and I was ashamed that you chose baking over NASA. Plus the Edison thing.
She picked at the hem of the shirt.
I shouldn't have called him.
Sammy blew out a breath.
It wasn't just you. I said some pretty hurtful things, too. I knew what a sensitive topic your mother and sister were, and I threw it in your face.
He shook his head.
We were both at fault. But the problem wasn't you or me. The problem was us.
Olivia's skin chilled. What does that mean?
It means we were young and naive. We loved each other, but it wasn't enough. Our lives were going down different paths, and neither of us was mature enough to handle it. If we hadn't broken up, we would have had to deal with different obstacles. You in New York, me in Cali. Even if I stayed in New York, you'd have worked crazy hours in banking while I worked crazy hours building a bakery from scratch. We never would have seen each other. And I'm not convinced that wouldn't have been the death of us eventually.
His eyes grew sad.
I think we knew that deep down. And I think the thought freaked us out to the point where we lashed out. We weren't ready for what the real world had to throw at us.
Sometimes, he said softly,
it's not about love. It's about timing.
Everything he said made sense. And it had already happened. So Olivia wasn't sure why her heart ached so much. Maybe it was because deep down, beneath the layers of logic and practicality, she was a romantic at heart. And the idea that love wasn't enough to conquer all depressed the hell out of her.
What about now? She asked.
How's our timing now?
Emotion flared in his eyes before it dimmed. You're only in SF for the summer. Stanford for another year. After that, you're back in New York. I wouldn't say the timing is great now, either.
Olivia was quiet for a long moment, while her brain whirred, spitting out pros and cons and hypotheticals so fast she almost couldn't keep up.
I don't have to go back to New York, she said, watching his face carefully. I've worked in the SF branch all summer, and I've done a good job. I'm sure I could convince management to let me transfer here if I wanted.
Sammy's eyes widened.
Are you saying?
He cleared his throat.
You would move to SF for me?
Who says I'm doing it for you? I could be doing it for me, she teased, because, hey, she couldn't give him all the power. But if that's the only thing standing between us, then I wouldn't be opposed to asking for a transfer.
Us?
This time, Sammy's tone was teasing. If you want there to be an us again. Olivia hated being this vulnerable. She wanted to sink into the floor out of embarrassment, but it had to be done. Trying to act all tough because of her pride had netted her nothing but trouble in the past.
Because I do. Out of all the guys I've dated, Sammy scowled. You're the one I've never been able to let go of.
I'm falling in love with you all over again. She bit back the confession. It was too soon for that. But it was true. All it took was a few months near Sammy and she'd gotten sucked in all over again. His charm, his humor, and his intelligence, not to mention those abs, paired with her chemistry and the way her heart flipped every time she saw him, she hadn't stood a chance.
I agree we were young and naive the first time.
But we're not that young and naive anymore. She let out a shaky laugh.
We could make it work.
I want to make it work. Sammy yanked her toward him, squeezing her so tight it was hard to breathe.
Live.
Gravel filled his voice.
Fuck.
Was that a good fuck or a bad fuck? Olivia buried her face in his chest, trying to enjoy the moment while it lasted, in case the answer was the latter. Perhaps having this conversation while they were stuck on vacation together may not have been the best idea. If he broke her heart again tonight, Olivia wasn't sure she could put up a happy face for the rest of his family tomorrow. Sammy pulled back and stared at her.
When we broke up, I thought you ruined my life, he said. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I was a pathetic mess. Just ask my friends. And no matter how many years passed or how many dates I went on. This time, Olivia was the one who scowled. The thought of Sammy so much as smiling at another woman made her want to scratch said woman's eyes out. I never recaptured that spark we had. With you, I felt my emotions to the fullest. Joy, anger, sadness. Both the good and the bad. But with everyone else, I was a shadow of the person I could be. He swallowed hard. Then I realized you didn't ruin my life. You ruined me for other women. Olivia's head snapped up in shock. Sammy flashed a crooked smile. So yeah, to answer your question, I want to make it work too. Otherwise, I'm fucked. Her tears blended with her laughter, which seemed appropriate because she was a hot mess. So romantic. Thanks, I thought so. Olivia smiled before growing serious again. So, are we really doing this? You and me? Between Edison and their sex session and this conversation, the night had been a roller coaster of emotions. Everything seemed so sudden. But when she thought about it, they'd been building toward this moment for a while. From the minute she called Sammy the night her apartment flooded, this, them, was a foregone conclusion. Because she'd known, deep down, that Sammy would show up. He was just that type of guy. She hadn't anticipated becoming roommates with him. But she had known she was opening the door for him to enter her life again, beyond a few secret glances at mutual friends' get-togethers. Their attraction had never died. Maybe their love hadn't, either. It had just been buried and covered with the disguise of hate. Now that their past had been laid out and stripped bare, and there were no more secrets between them, maybe they could finally move on. Whether they'd do so together remained to be seen. You and me, part two. Sammy sealed the promise with a soft kiss. Let's do it.
Chapter 18. The rest of the weekend passed without incident, unless one counted all the times Sammy and Olivia snuck off to make out and have sex. Sammy must have scared Edison off for good because his cousin didn't so much as glance in his or Olivia's direction after the hot tub incident. Good. Sammy hadn't been kidding. He really would have punched Edison's lights out had he said or done anything untoward. Did he feel bad about his threat, considering Edison was the one bankrolling the weekend? A little, but not enough to take back his words. Edison had the money, and Sammy had put up with him for almost 30 years. Hell, he deserved the whole freaking chalet for not snapping earlier. With the specter of Edison's snide remarks gone and his relationship with Olivia renewed, Sammy had a blast at Lake Tahoe. He went hiking, fishing, mountain biking, paddleboarding, all the things he couldn't do in the city. Sometimes Olivia joined him. Other times she parked herself lakeside with her latest read and baked herself into a golden bronze color. He didn't mind. Those books always got her going, and they were a source of interesting scenarios she liked to reenact in the bedroom. He also won the family bet. Final count for how many times Edison uttered the word partner over the weekend? 36. It wasn't all fun and games, though. They had more hard conversations about the future, including what they were going to do when Olivia left for Stanford, or if her company turned down her request for a transfer. Although Palo Alto wasn't far, business school was a killer, so she wouldn't have much free time once classes resumed. Unlike in college, these conversations focused on reality, not fantasy. That meant they might not always have the answers, but at least they wouldn't be blindsided when real life crept up on them as it had a habit of doing. By the time Sammy and Olivia left Lake Tahoe, it was an open secret they were hooking up again, though they hadn't told anyone they were officially dating yet. Sammy swore he saw his mother's eyes mist over with happy tears when she waved goodbye. "Tip, never give her your number," Sammy said as they entered his house. It felt good to stretch his legs after 4 hours of sitting in a car. It would have been 3, but traffic was hellish on Sunday evenings. She'll blow up your phone with subtle hints about how she's getting old and how much she wants to hold her grandchildren before she dies. Ah, Asian mom guilt, I know it well. Olivia's eyes sparkled with laughter. Don't give her my number. Got it. Except I already did. Sammy stared at her in horror.
She ambushed me, Olivia said defensively. She told me she needed an emergency contact in case she couldn't reach you. She looked so worried. Asian mom guilt, remember?
Oh, Liv, he patted her on the shoulder. You have no idea what you got yourself into. She responded with a puppy dog look.
I don't. Make me feel better?
He did. Gladly, and multiple times. The next 2 weeks passed in a blur. Sammy and Olivia spent their days texting each other during work breaks, their weekends exploring the city, and their nights doing things that would make a porn star blush. Sammy had forgotten how good dating Olivia felt, how much he laughed, how excited he got when her name popped up on his phone, or when he finally saw her after work, which, by the way, was a pain in the ass. Not the baking part, but the management part. The paperwork and minutiae that came with the expansions in D.C. and New York made Sammy want to bang his head against the wall, and he would rather eat glass than have to sit through another Zoom call about licenses and tax filings.
Have you thought about hiring a CEO? Olivia asked one night after a particularly steamy session between the sheets where Sammy finally divested her of her second anal virginity.
Was that a thing? Maybe not. But even after weeks of easing her into it, she'd still been so tight Sammy had resorted to picturing his grandparents' dentures and mentally reciting the 49ers' entire roster in order to not blow his load early.
Someone who can run the management side of things while you do what you do best?
What's that? Sammy asked lazily. He cupped her breast with one hand and swept his thumb over her nipple until it peaked beneath his touch. He lowered his head and flicked his tongue over the hard nub, enjoying the way Olivia's breath hitched in response.
Baking, she breathed.
A low moan escaped her throat when he turned his attention to her other breast. You sure that's what I do best? He tugged gently on her nipple with his teeth and sucked hard before releasing it with a pop.
At work, at least.
Olivia rolled her hips up to meet his. I'll think about it. Hiring a CEO was a good idea, but Sammy was too distracted to think through the details right now. His hand inched between her legs where he found her wet and ready for him.
I can help you look. Oh, my God.
They didn't speak again for a good half hour, unless you considered screaming and groaning speaking. After the post-coital bliss faded, Sammy draped an arm over Olivia's shoulder and pulled her close. As much as he loved the sex, this was his favorite part of the night, just lying next to her, talking to her, knowing she was all his and he was all hers.
I wish Chris's wedding were this weekend.
Olivia switched topics from their earlier discussion and snuggled closer to Sammy, draping one leg over his and one arm over his stomach.
Would give me an excuse to avoid the terror of tangs.
The terror of tangs?
You know how a group of lions is called a pride and a group of wolves is called a pack? Well, a group of tangs is called a terror. Specifically, if said group includes my mother, sister, and future brother-in-law.
Sammy coughed to hide his laugh.
Technically, your brother-in-law isn't a tang. Neither is your sister after she marries him. You know what I mean,
Olivia grumbled.
Whose side are you on anyway?
Yours, of course. He ran an absent-minded hand through her hair. How long are they here for?
Just the weekend, but that's long enough. They want to have brunch.
She sounded about as excited as a kid who'd just been told Christmas was canceled. Brunch is bad?
The last time we had brunch together, my mother made the waiter cry, and my sister made us listen to her keynote speech for an upcoming conference. 3 times.
Sammy winced. Ouch. Do you want... He hesitated. If you need moral support, I'm here.
If you need me to go with you, I can, he clarified in his mind. But he didn't want to be presumptuous and invite himself to a family affair. Besides, the last time Olivia's mother entered the picture, Olivia hadn't been too keen on introducing him. This was a different situation, though. He wasn't some wannabe baker that turned down a once-in-a-lifetime job at NASA. He was a successful baker, businessman, and all that jazz. But what if that wasn't enough? Sammy forced himself to step back from his self-pity party. The problem with the past was that it was a bitch to shake off, no matter how much you wanted to leave it in the rearview mirror. But he was trying. "Handle it," Olivia was saying. "I may need one of your cupcakes to console me afterward." "Done." He kissed the top of her head. "Speaking of Chris's wedding," he said, bringing them back to the original subject. "Did you buy your tickets for Italy already?"
"Not yet. Chris offered to fly all the bridesmaids out, but we agreed it was too much, considering she's already paid for so many things she didn't need to, like accommodations at the freaking castle where she's holding the wedding."
Olivia traced a circle on his abs.
"I set a low-fare alert for San Francisco to Tuscany, but it hasn't gone off yet. I might buy my ticket tomorrow, though. The date's getting close, and Tuesdays are the cheapest day to book flights."
Sammy grinned. What an Olivia response. "I was planning to buy mine tomorrow, too." He'd wanted to book his flight earlier, but he'd been so busy it had slipped his mind. He only remembered when Nardo texted him asking if Chris had really put a $600 cheese tray on her wedding registry, considering she didn't even like cheese. The short answer, yes. It wasn't even the most expensive item on the registry. The whole thing was a little rich for Sammy's blood, but a majority of Chris's wedding guests were big Hollywood types, so they could afford it. Sammy himself had stuck with a slightly more reasonably priced Le Creuset pot for a wedding gift. "How about we buy ours together? Would be nice to have some company on a long flight, and, as Tahoe proved, we travel well together." Olivia's eyes gleamed with amusement.
"We've traveled together before that," she said, referring to their study abroad adventures.
Even back then, Chris had been extravagant in her spending and had paid for their group of friends to spend a weekend in Macau for Courtney's birthday. That was different. That was part of a group. This will be just the two of us. "So?" Sammy tried to sound casual. "What do you think?" For some reason, this felt like a turning point. He wasn't asking her to vacation together as a couple, per se, because Chris's wedding technically wasn't a vacation. But flying and showing up in Italy together seemed oddly intimate. If she said yes, that was. Olivia propped herself up on one elbow and planted a soft kiss on his lips.
"I think that sounds great. Hey, maybe we can join the Mile High Club."
Sammy laughed, if only because the chances of Olivia having sex in a dirty, cramped airplane bathroom were slim to none. This was the same woman who would rather dehydrate herself on purpose than risk having to use a plane restroom.
"Only if we get upgraded to first class, though," she added. "And only after the restrooms pass my hygiene check. I'll bring some extra Lysol wipes just in case." "What? Why are you looking at me like that?"
"Never change, Liv," he chuckled. "Never change." The next morning, Sammy had a YouTube baking tutorial shoot, an interview with a local culinary magazine, and a meeting with his operations manager, so he didn't show up at Crumble and Bake until well past noon. He was accosted the moment he stepped inside the shop.
"You!"
A short, stocky man with a 49ers cap and a startling resemblance to a bulldog jabbed his finger in Sammy's direction.
"You're the asshole who's sexting my girlfriend!"
"What the fuck?" Sammy cast a glance at Bryce, who gave a helpless shake of his head. He'd always been the nicer, less confrontational of Sammy's two front house managers. Cordelia was off today, otherwise she would have shut this nonsense down already. Luckily, the bakery was empty, though it wouldn't be long before the lunch rush started.
"Sir, I think you have the wrong person." Sammy was tired, hungry, and in no mood for any bullshit. But as the business owner, he had to keep his cool.
"Nah, it's you," the bulldog glared at him. "Sammy, you."
"Well, fuck."
"I assure you, I'm not sexting anyone, least of all your girlfriend."
Sammy had been paranoid about cybersecurity ever since his Instagram got hacked a few years ago, and he knew better than to send anything too personal out in cyberspace. He didn't even sext Olivia.
Yeah? That's not what the naked picture my girlfriend sent you says.
Bulldog's eyes glinted with anger. Double fuck. Sammy sometimes received raunchy photos and messages on his social media accounts, but he never responded. He sure as hell never sexted any of his female fans.
Did you see me message her back?
Bulldog flushed.
You didn't get a chance before I made her block your ass.
Sammy almost laughed out loud. With all due respect, this seems like an issue between you and your girlfriend. Especially if you distrust her enough to go through her social accounts. Then again, if she was sending naked pics to other men, perhaps some distrust was warranted. Either way, it wasn't his problem.
That being said, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store, sir. This isn't the time or place to air personal grievances.
Lady Luck shone down on Sammy at that moment, because the door jangled open and Officer Mike, a regular who stopped by several times a week for donuts, fulfilling every pop culture stereotype about his profession, walked in, dressed in full uniform.
Hey, Sammy!
He glanced between Sammy and Bulldog with a curious expression.
Good afternoon, officer.
Sammy stared at Bulldog, who scowled but backed down.
This isn't over,
Bulldog stormed out, and Sammy released a long-held breath.
Jesus.
The last thing he needed was boyfriends jacked up on testosterone causing trouble in his shop. Nothing like that had ever happened before, but there was a first time for everything, unfortunately.
Everything all right? Mike asked.
Nothing I can't handle. Sammy shook it off. Hopefully Bulldog wouldn't swing by again, but if he did, Sammy was calling the cops.
The usual?
Mike always ordered the salted caramel chocolate donut. The officer grinned.
You know it.
The rest of the day passed uneventfully, thank God, but the Bulldog situation had already soured Sammy's mood. He really hated social media sometimes. He'd liked it fine when he was a private user, but as a semi-public figure, the shit he had to deal with was draining. He knew he shouldn't complain, considering his success on social media had played a huge role in getting him where he was now, but he'd never wanted to be famous. He just wanted to bake. Now, because he had a certain number of followers and had been on the cover of a few magazines, everyone felt entitled to him, like he was a piece of public property. Sammy retreated into his office and rubbed his eyes, staring at the mountain of papers waiting for his signature. He swore they multiplied every time he left the room. He didn't remember there being so many documents yesterday. He got to work, dutifully reading and signing paper after paper until his vision blurred. How was he more exhausted sitting at his desk than running around the kitchen during peak hours? Liv was right, he muttered, pressing his pen so hard to the page he broke its nib. Shit. He really needed to hire a CEO.
Chapter 19. You shouldn't wear shorts, Olivia. You don't have the thighs for them. Eleanor Tang surveyed her younger daughter with a critical eye. Have you tried working out? Olivia pressed her lips together. Yes, mother. I work out every day. Sex counted, right? At Stanford, she usually went for a morning jog, but the streets near Sammy's house were too hilly. That type of cardio was above her pay grade. Interesting. Eleanor reached for her water glass, her tastefully sized emerald ring flashing in the light. Perhaps you should step it up. You don't want to get fat. Eleanor Tang, the queen of political correctness. Not. I think her thighs look great. Richard winked and stared at Olivia like he could see right through her clothes. Men like a little meat on their women's bones. Oh, their food hadn't even come yet, and Olivia already wanted to hurl. I should have taken Sammy up on his offer. While she didn't want to subject him to her family's company, she could use a friendly face. As it stood, she had to deal with the terror of the Tangs on her own. What are you trying to say? Alina asked playfully. She, of course, was a perfect size zero and had been her entire post-pubescent life. Olivia was slim by any standard, except Eleanor's. But she wasn't a size zero, and had no desire to be one. She liked her hips and thighs, thank you very much.
You know you're beautiful.
Richard kissed Alina's cheek. Alina giggled. Eleanor beamed, and Olivia rolled her eyes. How's the house hunt going? Olivia changed the subject.
It's not a hunt per se, because Richard and I don't know if we're moving here for sure yet, but I have to say, I'm loving San Francisco.
Alina leaned back to allow their server to set their food on the table.
We saw some great houses yesterday, didn't we, Mom? They were acceptable, Eleanor acknowledged, but not perfect. Keep looking.
The meal dragged on. Olivia was convinced she'd been sitting there, downing mimosa after mimosa to soothe her nerves, for days. But in reality, brunch lasted less than 2 hours. Their conversation topics were the same as always. Alina's wedding, Alina's job, Richard's job, Eleanor's social obligations, etc. Olivia's dad had left them when she was less than a year old. But Eleanor had gone through 3 more marriages since then, all to wealthy, successful men who were the polar opposite of Olivia's deadbeat father, and who left Eleanor a good chunk of their money in their divorce settlements. Say what you want about Olivia's mother, but she was a master at manipulating men into foregoing a prenup. Her last husband had parted with several million dollars and his summer house on Lake Michigan.
Olivia, where are you living right now? Alina asked,
finally realizing that none of them had asked about Olivia or her life since the discussion about her thighs. Not that she minded. The less her family knew, the better. They were more critical than Simon Cowell in his worst American Idol days.
Maybe we should look into that neighborhood, too.
Olivia gulped down another mouthful of orange juice and champagne. No way was she telling them she was living with Sammy. Her mother had a steel trap memory, and she definitely remembered Sammy as the guy who threw away a NASA career to be a baker. Sammy may be successful, but Eleanor's tolerance for creative types hovered near the same level as her tolerance for public transportation and white after Labor Day, aka close to zero.
You don't want to live there, Olivia said. The place isn't in the best neighborhood.
Sammy lived in an excellent neighborhood, but her family didn't need to know that. The thought of any of them coming within a mile radius of him made her stomach churn. She wanted to protect him from the Tangs at all costs. Alina's eyes widened.
It's not in, she lowered her voice to a whisper. The ghetto, is it?
No, and don't use that word. It's offensive.
Why?
I don't think it's offensive,
Richard added. Olivia sighed. There was no use in explaining. She'd tried multiple times in the past, but it always fell on deaf ears and led to heated arguments.
By the way, I meant to tell you earlier, but it slipped my mind with everything else I had going on.
Alina sipped her drink.
I received an invitation to speak at a conference the weekend of my bachelorette, so I moved the celebration up. My bachelorette is now the weekend of September 19th.
Olivia's French toast turned to ash in her mouth.
What? Is that a problem? I thought it was a suitable alternative.
That's the weekend of Chris's wedding. Olivia strove to maintain control. I've talked about it for months, and I already bought my tickets for Italy.
You have?
Alina blinked.
Yes?
Irritation pumped through Olivia's veins.
Is there another alternative? Maybe you can decline the conference invite. You've had the bachelorette date set for a year.
Alina's face collapsed into a frown.
I can't decline the invite. It's the most prestigious conference in my field. One of their original speakers pulled out, and they're counting on me. Plus, September 19th is the only weekend that works for all the bridesmaids.
Except me. The metal from Olivia's fork dug into her hand.
I didn't realize you'd already checked with everyone else before you told me.
I was going to tell you earlier. A defensive note crept into Alina's voice.
Like I said, I forgot.
Olivia, this is your sister's bachelorette, Eleanor cut in. Your only sister. You have other friends besides Chris. Family comes first. Olivia's head was
this close to pulling a Mount Etna and exploding. I'm a bridesmaid in Chris's wedding. You're a bridesmaid in Alina's wedding, too. Well, maybe if I'd been the maid of honor, since I'm her only sister and all, we wouldn't have this problem, Olivia snapped. I would have sorted out the logistics better. Alina paled, but Eleanor looked bored. Don't tell me you're still upset about that. Holding a grudge is not classy. You know why I asked Kayla, Alina burst out, causing their mother to shoot her favorite daughter a rare frown. Eleanor despised scenes. She lives in Chicago, and she enjoys planning, and you're always so busy. I thought I was doing you a favor so you could focus on school instead of worrying about my wedding. You didn't want to be my maid of honor anyway. Olivia was so done with this conversation. This brunch. This whole day. Fine. Whatever. You're right. But I'm sorry to say that I won't make it to your bachelorette because I'll be in Italy. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to use the ladies' room. She pushed her chair back, stood, and speed-walked to the restroom, blinking back tears. It was dumb for her to feel so hurt over her sister's bachelorette party, considering she'd been dreading the event. But it was further proof that Eleanor and Alina barely listened to her or considered her a part of the family. Olivia had come to terms with her father's absence in her life. She'd never known the guy, and she had no interest in seeking him out. Any man who walked away from his family didn't deserve her energy. Her mother and sister were different. She'd grown up with them, and she had no clue why they disliked her so much. The one time she tried to bring it up with them, her sister had interrupted because her Pottery Barn order had arrived and needed her attention, and her mother had dismissed her as being paranoid. Olivia splashed cold water on her face and fought to regain control of her emotions. Fuck it. Chris had been more of a sister to her than Alina had ever been, and she wouldn't feel guilty about choosing Chris's wedding over Alina's bachelorette. The restroom door opened. She didn't pay attention to the newcomer until she heard a familiar male voice. How are you doing? Olivia yelped and glared at Richard, who leaned against the wall with a smirk, looking every inch the preppy douche in a pale blue button-down shirt and pink pants. This is the women's restroom, she snapped. Just because you're wearing pink doesn't mean you belong here. I wanted to check on you. You seemed upset. Richard walked over, faux concern shining on his face. I totally get it. It's a bummer, missing your sister's bachelorette.
Sure. Now get the fuck out.
I can make you feel better.
He ran the back of his finger down her cheek, and she shuddered with revulsion.
I've always thought you were hot. Different from Alina, but hot.
He leered at her legs.
I know you're attracted to me, too. We don't live in the same city, which is a shame. But Alina and Eleanor are going to a wine tasting tonight that I'm skipping. Our hotel room will be free for hours.
Olivia gaped at him, certain she was hearing wrong. Was her sister's fiancé seriously propositioning her in a public bathroom in the middle of brunch with said sister? And was he seriously asking her to come over to the hotel room he shared with Alina? He either had a serious abundance of balls or a serious lack of brains. She'd bet on the latter. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm in no way, shape, or form attracted to you. Olivia stepped back, her stomach roiling with disgust. I also don't think my sister, who's sitting right outside, would appreciate your invitation. Richard didn't look fazed.
Hey, it was worth a shot. Good way to get back at her, you know what I mean?
He winked.
If you change your mind, you know where to find me.
He sauntered out, looking for all the world like he hadn't offered to cheat on his soon-to-be wife. What the fuck? Olivia pressed the heel of her palm to her eye, struggling to sort through what just happened. She'd always known Richard was an asshole, but she hadn't thought he was idiotic enough to act on his sleazy impulses. Judging by how casually he'd walked out of here, he wasn't at all concerned that Olivia would tell Alina, or that if she did, that Alina would believe her. Which begged the question, was he right? Olivia's conscience demanded she tell Alina, but there was a real possibility her sister would think she was lying. Richard had Alina wrapped around his pampered finger. But Olivia had to try, right? Or would it just drive a further wedge between her and her family? Eleanor for sure wouldn't take her side. Her mother and sister would probably think she was jealous and trying to break up Alina's engagement because she was a bitter shrew or something. Olivia groaned and covered her face with her hands. Her day had gone from bad to worse to Hall of Fame hellish. Chapter 20. When it rained, it poured. The Monday following Olivia's disastrous family brunch, fog drenched most of the city in an eerie mist and put a damper on her mood before she'd even arrived at the office. Once she did, she beelined straight to the kitchen for her caffeine fix. She was waiting for the espresso to brew when Logan breezed in, wearing a pink button-down the exact shade of Richard's pants at brunch. Was that a color in the douche nozzle handbook or something?
Morning, Olivia. He raked his eyes over her body. You should wear that skirt more often. It makes your ass look good.
Maybe it was because she was still chafing from her encounter with Richard. Or maybe it was because she hadn't had her coffee yet and it was too early for this shit. But Olivia was over Logan's creepy-ass comments. She'd held her tongue in the past, afraid of rocking the boat when she was so close to what she wanted career-wise. But honestly, fuck him. Logan was a harassing asshole and not even that good at his job. Olivia was better, and everyone knew it. She'd only been at the San Francisco office for 2 months. But Michael had already assigned her to some of the most high-profile projects. Case in point, Ty Winstock. Sure, Winstock was still stringing them along. But he hadn't signed with any other firm, and he'd asked for Olivia by name in his last check-in with Michael. She wasn't naive enough to think she was indispensable, but she was a huge asset to the company, and PHC was all about the profit-loss margin. With that in mind, Olivia slammed her mug on the counter and whirled around, not bothering to hide her ire. Please do not comment on my attire or my body. It's inappropriate and makes me uncomfortable. A startled look slid into Logan's eyes before he waved her response off with a smirk.
Come on, I was just complimenting you. No need to get your panties in a twist.
Olivia was glad her coffee wasn't ready. Otherwise, she would have poured the scalding hot liquid over his head and earned herself an assault charge. It may not be your intention, but I am uncomfortable. She had to walk a fine line here. Make Logan realize his comments weren't okay without outright accusing him of sexual harassment. Office politics were a tricky beast, and despite her contributions to PHC, Olivia wasn't confident enough in her standing to take on someone who'd been with the company longer than she had. Plus, Wall Street culture wasn't known for being female-friendly. I would appreciate it if you kept your comments to work-related matters. I'm sure HR would agree. She couldn't resist throwing in the last part. Otherwise, she was sure Logan would ignore her request. His face darkened at the veiled threat.
Fine. He said in a clipped tone. I was trying to be nice, seeing as how you're new to this office and all. But I'll stick to work-related matters like you want. Quick tip from someone who's been here for a while, though. It never hurts not to be a bitch.
He stormed off. Olivia's hands shook as she poured her coffee. She'd done what she had to do. But damn it! It wasn't even 9:30 on a Monday morning, and she was already drained. She wished she could deal with the Richard issue in the same manner, but family was even more complicated than office politics. She hadn't decided whether she'd tell Alina what happened, but she needed to, fast. Alina and Richard's wedding was in 3 months.
Don't worry about Logan.
Olivia jumped in surprise. Luckily, she caught herself before her coffee spilled all over the front of her white shirt. That would have been the poison cherry on top of a shit sundae.
Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you.
An uncomfortable-looking Cassidy stood in the doorway. She shifted from foot to foot.
I didn't mean to eavesdrop, either.
It's fine. Olivia placed a hand over her racing heart. How long have you been standing there?
Long enough.
Cassidy's nose scrunched.
I came to grab some coffee, but I heard you and Logan talking, and I didn't think it was a good time for me to step in.
She looked around and lowered her voice.
He's had issues with sexual harassment in the past, you know. Not anything physical, as far as I know, but he always makes inappropriate comments, and several employees have filed HR complaints against him. That's why he got transferred to this office a few years back. He was originally based in D.C. Anyway, he's on thin ice. One more complaint and he's out.
Olivia blinked, shocked both by the revelations and the fact that Cassidy was, well, talking to her. The other woman hadn't said more than two words to her before now, despite Olivia's attempts to strike up a friendship. Why does PHC keep him on if he's such an issue? It didn't make sense. Based on what Cassidy said, Logan was a lawsuit waiting to happen. The blonde shrugged.
His father is best friends with the chairman of the board.
Oh, now it made sense.
Right. Thanks.
Olivia cleared her throat, feeling awkward. Why are you telling me this, though? Not that I don't appreciate the insight, but we haven't... She trailed off, trying to think of a way to say, we haven't gotten along without sounding rude. Pink blossomed across Cassidy's cheeks.
I thought you should know. Women need to stick together and all that. I'm sorry I haven't been friendlier this summer, but I've had a lot going on, and I get so wrapped up in work. Plus, I don't have a lot of female friends, so I'm not the best at that sort of thing.
Sympathy flooded Olivia. Now that she thought about it, she could see how what she perceived as coldness on Cassidy's part had instead been social anxiety. Cassidy had never been outright rude to her. She'd just turned down her past invitations. You know what they say, practice makes perfect, Olivia smiled. Any chance you're free for lunch today? It's okay if you're not, but if you are, there's a great new sandwich shop nearby that you might like. For a second, Olivia thought Cassidy would say no again. But then the other woman returned her smile.
That sounds great.
When Olivia got home that night, she found Sammy baking cupcakes, shirtless. That sneaky bastard. He knew what seeing him like that did to her. Seriously? She hung her jacket on the coat rack, her mouth watering at the delicious aroma swirling in the air. That's unfair.
What? I'm working,
he said innocently. Here, try this. New cupcake recipe. Tell me what you think. Olivia took the proffered dessert.